Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 133 for the November's 2018 previews. Now, in this episode, we'll be going through some of the items and previews you might find interesting. These episodes have an open submission policy, and I encourage you to send in clips to help promote the comics you love, and do it as often as you can. If you can do it every month, that's great. If it's once a quarter, that's fine. If it's only once a year, that's fine. But speak up and share your love of comics. There are thousands of items and previews each and every month, and it's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. As always, we'll be starting at the beginning of previews and working our way to the back. Obviously, we're not going to go item by item or page by page or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights, and those highlights are picked by people like you. So with that, let's get going. My first pick is on page 26, and it is the previews catalog. It's previews number 364 for January 2019. It'll be covering stuff coming out in probably March 2019. Now, I've been picking this for a while, and I really do recommend it. Even if you get your information out of previews online, you know, that's fine, but I personally like going through the catalog every month, finding things, because sometimes I'll just flip through and something will catch my eye and it looks kind of cool. And I'll pick it up and that's how I find out about new stuff. Certainly it's also a great way to find about toys, t-shirts, action figures, you name it, it's in there. With the previews, you also get the Marvel previews, the DC previews, and all of that kind of stuff. It's, I think, well worth getting if you're really into comics. If you're just a casual reader, you probably don't need it, but again, the information it collects is also available online on the Diamond website, previewsworld.com, and I think it's a wealth of information to know what's coming out and stuff. So with that, it's previews number 364 on page 26. Check it out.
Konnichiwa, folks. This is Alien Al on the forums. Alan in Japan with my first pick in this month's preview spotlight. And first, I'm in the image section on page 36. And my pick is Criminal, number one, written by Ed Brubaker, artist and cover Sean Phillips, aided by Jacob Phillips. It's January, due out January 9th, 48 pages, $3.99, 48 pages, wow. The return of the most acclaimed crime comic of the 21st century, hot off their best-selling series, Kill or Be Killed, in their original graphic novel, My Heroes Have Always Been Junkies. Crime comic masters Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips finally return to their most demanded title as a new monthly series. In this double-sized, at no additional cost, debut issue, Teague Lawless is back in town, but he finds himself in more trouble than ever, thanks to his delinquent teenage son, and this time, fist and bullets may not be enough to solve his problems. A perfect introduction to Criminal and its dark, exciting world. This series will also include back page art and articles to bring readers more fully into the noir experience. I've been reading Criminal for a while now. I got into it a little bit late, but for the past several years, whenever it comes out, I would get it. And I encourage you to try it out too. Sean Phillips, Ed Brubaker at their best. On to the next pick.
Hey John, this is Nick Fenner with my first pick for the month. It's Ice Cream Man number 9 from page 70 in the image section of the catalog. Writer W. Maxwell Prince and artist Martin Marazzo. Now you'll see, starting with this issue and going through some of my other ones this month, somehow I ended up on a kick of Wild West or time travel stories. This one entitled Hopscotch Melange, Part 1. The description reads, a wild western one-shot, which witnesses the way the world once was. Pick it up for $3.99 this January. should be a lot of fun, and hopefully got a decent amount of creepiness to it, too.
My next pick is on page 75, and it's frankly one that I wouldn't have expected me to pick prior to actually reading the first issue, and it's Murder Falcon number 4. Now, James and I reviewed the first issue. It was one of the ones we did when we were recording in advance and the two of us were going to be on vacation. And I'll be honest, it came down to we needed another comic to review that week. And I went into it thinking, well, yeah, this doesn't look like it's my cup of tea and stuff. And it does not fit in my wheelhouse, but I really enjoyed it. It had, I mean, it's incredibly different from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, but it's got high-level similarities to it, both in terms of music is a big aspect of it, and frankly, a guy who's kind of a loser is a big aspect of it. It won me over on the first and second issue, and I'm continuing with it for a while. Whether I'll be on it long-term or not, honestly, I'm not sure, but I'm enjoying the ride so far, and this is why it's good to try some different stuff out every once in a while. It may not be your cup of tea, but sometimes it may surprise you and turn out that way. This was the case for me. So once again, Murder Falcon number 4 on page 75 from Image Comics. Check it out.
Hello, this is Alien Al. 121 on the forums, Alan Bowman in Japan, and this is my next pick in the preview spotlight. I'm still in the Image section, and this time I'm on page 76, and my pick is Outcast by Kirkman and Asaseta. It's Outcast number 38. And the writer is Robert Kirkman, artist and cover Paul Azaceta, Elizabeth Britt Weiser. I'm picking this one only because I read about it, the title, in the back of The Walking Dead, I think. Or it could have been Oblivion, but I'm not sure. And then I thought, have I read that before? And so I went digging through my long box and I said, oh my goodness, I have the first issue. But I don't have any others after that. So I reread the first issue and I realized it was about basically a guy who could do the exorcist thing with demons. And I said, boy, why didn't I continue with that? I don't remember. So I'm just going to jump on board with number 38 and see what happens, see how the title has progressed. And if I like it, I will go back and get the trades, I think. All right. So it's due out January 23rd. For $3.99, and the solicit reads, Surrounded, the darkness is closing in on Kyle Barnes. The end game approaches. All right, so I don't think Kyle Barnes was in that first issue I read. I'm not sure. I don't think he was. I think it was another guy's name. But anyway, whatever. I'm going to try it out. On to the next pick.
Hey, it's Drew from the beautiful Hocking Hills of Ohio with my first pick, and it is from Image. It is Outpost Zero number 6, written by Sean McKeever, with art and a cover by Alexandra Telfengi and Jean-Francois Ballou. This has been a really fun series, the first 4 issues that I've read. There is something happened on Earth. Everybody's escaped, and there's this big dome, and they're on this. They've crash-landed, and generations have been living inside this big dome, and now there's a giant ice covering this entire dome, and they're worried it's going to destroy it. But these generations of people have lived there, and they're just barely getting by, and it's, you know, they are from birth. They like get slotted into different jobs to just keep the outpost going. It's been really cool. There's there's some mystery with this ice thing. A couple of people have disappeared, and we're trying to figure out exactly what's going on. You know, how dangerous is it outside? It's supposed to be incredibly dangerous, so we don't really know yet all that. But the answers are coming, and this has been a really fun read. Sean McKeever does a good job. He's a heck of a writer. I really like it. Art's fine. It's something to definitely check out in trade if you haven't, or sample that first issue. But this is issue 6, so it's going to be coming out January 16th. It's a $3.99 comic. I urge you to check that out, and check out my podcast, Comics for Fun and Profit, if you are so inclined.
Hi.
Hi, Nathan here with a clip from the Dark Horse section. I am recommending Aliens Resistance by Brian Wood and Robert Carey. If anyone knows from past clips I've done on this, I'm a huge Aliens fan. The Aliens movies are some of my favorite movies of all time. I love Sigourney Weaver's Ellen Ripley character. It's phenomenal. Anyway, while I'm usually all in on the Aliens comics, I'm especially excited for this one because it's being written by Brian Wood. Brian Wood wrote another Alien series a couple years ago called Aliens Defiance. It took place between Alien and Aliens in that time when Ripley was in cryosleep for about 80-some years. And the Alien Defiance series dealt with Corporal Hicks's daughter during that time frame. It looks like this series is Aliens Resistance is going to deal with Ellen Ripley's daughter. Her name is, I'm blanking for a moment, Amanda Ripley. So from what I've been reading from some background information on this, apparently there was a video game recently called Alien Isolation. And the story of that game had to do with Amanda Ripley's character. I never played the game. I don't know what that's about, but I am fascinated by just seeing how some of the family members of some of our favorite Aliens characters are going to interact with the Xenomorphs. And Brian Wood's Alien series from a couple years ago, Alien Defiance, it was phenomenal. It was tense, you know, great story. I mean, interesting take and new ideas. Pacing was amazing. Anyway, that was a great series. So I am totally excited that Brian Wood is now going to do this new series. So that is my big recommendation for the month. It is Aliens Resistance by Brian Wood and Robert Carey. Enjoy.
Hey, this is James back with my next pick. And this time I'm in the Dark Horse section and I'm on page 94. Nobody had picked this yet on the forums, at least I hadn't written it, or written that they were going to pick it. By the way, if you guys do pick things that I have picked, I don't mind it. I like hearing duplicates because the things that you guys say, I like to hear things that you guys see that maybe I didn't pick up on. So the more people who review things, I don't mind at all. But the one I want to point to on page 94 is Aliens Resistance number 1. And the thing that piqued my interest about this, you know, I'm not the biggest Aliens fan. I love Aliens, but I wouldn't say I'm the biggest fan. Brian Wood is the writer. I'm a big Brian Wood fan. Most of what he writes, I enjoy. But he is the writer on this, and Robert Carey is the artist. It looks like it's on sale January 23rd. It's a miniseries, like most of the Aliens thing. This is a gem of the month, $3.99. But it's saying starring series favorite Amanda Ripley, written by Brian Wood of Aliens Defiance, which he wrote that very well. And it follows the events of the hit video game Aliens Isolation. I did not play the video game, but like I said, I do like Aliens. I'm not the biggest Aliens fan, but this is something that's right up my alley. I like sci-fi. I like horror. I like the horror in space. And Brian Wood writing it, consider me sold. If you guys are an Aliens fan or if you have any interest in it at all, check this out because it may be right up your alley. On to my next pick.
This is Star Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with a pick from the Black Horse section of the catalog on page 97, and it's The Quantum Age, number 6, written by Jeff Lemire, art and cover by Wilfredo Torres and Dave Stewart. The Quantum Age, this is issue 6 of a miniseries. Well, the solicit says ongoing. I don't think it's ongoing unless it's such a hit that they're going to keep it going. But The Quantum Age is a miniseries that comes out of the Black Hammer series. Jeff Lemire has really, in just the last couple of years, has really produced a great work of comic book fun with the Black Hammer and series, and with all the various miniseries that have stemmed out of the Black Hammer series. The Quantum Age is actually a surprise to me because I didn't think I was going to like this one after I read the first issue. It was kind of, you know, way overboard on the science fiction end, and I could see that it was his version of the Legion of Superheroes, and I am not really a major follower of Legion of Superheroes, so that would confuse me right away. And so I figured, well, it's the Black Hammer and it's Jeff Lemire. They've been dependable before, so let's just, you know, keep getting it. And now that we're a few more issues into the Quantum Age, I'm loving it! Jeff Lemire, once again, has turned me around on something that I just wasn't sure I was gonna like. And so, I recommend, the Quantum Age Mini. I recommend ordering number 6, Solicit Says, the newly formed Quantum League, set out for one final confrontation with the ruthless dictator of Earth. Meanwhile, two Black Hammer favorites reflect on their past as the future is suddenly uncertain. Anyway, I recommend all the Black Hammer stuff, but the Quantum Age, it won me over. Is it an ongoing? I don't think so. Even the Solicit Says final confrontation. Final. But either way, I'm going to get it, I'm going to read it, and I'm going to wait for more stuff from Jeff Lemire in the Black Hammer universe.
Hi, I'm Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and I go by Superman Fan on the forums. My first pick this month comes in the Dark Horse section on page 97 with The Quantum Age, number 6, Jeff Lemire, writer and variant cover artist, Wilfredo Torres, story and cover artist, and Dave Stewart, colorist. On sale January 9th. Full color, 32 pages for $3.99, and this is an ongoing series. The newly formed Quantum League set out for one final confrontation with the ruthless dictator of Earth. Meanwhile, two Black Hammer favorites reflect on their past, as the future is suddenly uncertain. Ties directly into the Eisner Award-winning Black Hammer comic book series, and is written by main writer Jeff Lemire. I received the third issue of this series and my latest shipment from Discount Comic Book Service at the beginning of the week, and it was my favorite so far. This series is an homage to the Legion of Superheroes, especially the 5 years later era of the team. After Superman, my next favorite comic book title has always been the Legion of Superheroes. So, since DC has yet to bring the Legion back, in the DC New 52 or Rebirth era yet, I'm enjoying the Quantum Age. Billy Hogan again. My second pick is still in the Dark Horse section on page 100 with Umbrella Academy Hotel Oblivion number 4. Gerard Way, writer, Gabriel Ba, story, cover, and variant cover artist, and Nick Filardi, colorist. On sale January 2nd, full color, 32 pages for $3.99, and this is a miniseries. A heart-to-heart with Mother leads Vanya, aka the White Violin, to reassess what makes her special. Two of her siblings are caught in a shootout, and two more have a cosmic moment, while the bad guys infiltrate the hotel. I received the first issue of this miniseries in my latest shipment from Discount Comic Book Service, and I enjoyed it very much. I didn't have any trouble picking up on these characters and who they were. I was familiar with them, even though the last miniseries was about a decade ago. So I'm looking forward to reading the latest adventure of the Umbrella Academy, and if I'm not mistaken, Netflix is going to be producing a series of The Umbrella Academy, although I don't recall when that series is scheduled to premiere.
This is Dr. Mo with my first pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Young Justice, number 1 from DC Comics. Brian Michael Bendis' new pop-up comics imprint, Wonder Comics, begins with the relaunch of a classic 90s DC teen title, Young Justice. This book will feature Tim Drake Robin, Connor Kent, or Kal-El, version of Superboy, Bar Allen Impulse, Cassandra Sandsmark, Wonder Girl, and two new characters, someone called Teen Lantern and Jenny Hex. Now, Jenny Hex will probably be, could be a potentially controversial figure because of how she was introduced. Apparently, Young Justice is not the first appearance of this character. In fact, she will be appearing in Brian Michael Bendis's Batman series that can only be purchased in Walmart. Why do I like this title so much? Well, I am a huge fan of the property going back to the 90s when it was written by Peter David. It was a very fun title, didn't take itself too seriously, though there was a bit of humor. There were times in which it got very serious, and I think it had this great balance of light and darkness. The thing about the Peter David series is that the team was somewhat fluid. You got a lot of new and different characters, not necessarily the big three or the big four: Robin, Impulse, Superboy, and Wonder Girl. Brian Michael Bendis has a long history of working with teen characters, going back to Ultimate Spider-Man. Really enjoyed his work with the Miles Morales Spider-Man. And the art for this series is being done by Patrick Gleason, who has an extensive pedigree of working with superhero characters, including Superman titles, Batman characters, teen titles. Think he'll do a fabulous job on this series. Young Justice number 1 can be found on page 2 of the DC Comics section and costs $4.99.
My next pick is on page 3 of the DC previews, and it is Naomi number 1. This will answer the question of whatever happened to Naomi. And honestly, I don't even get the reference of that. That was something one of my college friends would always say, because it came from somewhere. Anyways, this is a new character that's got some mysterious connection to the DC universe. It's written by Brian Michael Bendis. We've got David F. Walker helping out on the writing, and Jamal Campbell on the art, with a variant cover by the ever-popular TBD, who's also doing, I think, 5 variant covers for Young Justice on the previous page, so very popular artist. Anyways, this is part of the whole Wonder Comics line. I'll admit, I'm probably, I'm honestly not sure if I'm going to like this stuff or not, but I'm wildly curious about it, because Young Justice, I love that. Naomi, not entirely sure what it's going to shape up to be, but looks interesting. The Wonder Twins stuff they're promising looks like a lot of fun. I love those characters. A little cautiously optimistic about Dial H for Hero. It looks like it's going to be based on the more recent Dial H stuff versus the classic. I kind of prefer, actually, the second version of Dial H that had Chris King and Vicky Grant. But that's just when I was getting into comics and, you know, that kind of stuff. Anyways, Naomi looks interesting, not entirely sure what direction it's going to take, but Brian Michael Bendis is really going whole hog, doing a lot of stuff over at DC, and this is a brand new character that seems like a lot of fun. I want to see where they go with this, and think you might want to check it out. So once again, that's Naomi number 1 on page 3 of the DC previews. My next pick is on page 4 of the DC previews, and it's The Other History of the DC Universe, number 1. Now, I'm basically going to say this could be either really great or possibly a bit of a train wreck. It is a 64-page per comic, 5-issue comic, $7.99, so a little expensive. But it is exploring the history of the DC Universe through the socio-political trends and from kind of the non-traditional viewpoint of the white male hero. We've got Black Lightning leading off. We're going to have Karen and Mal Duncan, Bumblebee and Guardian from the Titans stuff. Tashu Yashimura, which I think was, I think it's Kitana, might be, yeah, pretty sure it's Kitana. And then Renee Montoya, who is Gotham City Police officer and also The Question at one point. So coming at it from different angles and stuff and seeing maybe not the standard history of the DC universe, but that history viewed from a different lens of the more disenfranchised. So I'm curious how this is going to go. I'm very curious about it. Again, cautiously optimistic is probably the right phrase. But it definitely could be, something that is either quickly forgotten or widely regarded. It's got a lot of potential in both extremes, but I'm a big DC fan, so I'm curious where they're going with this and how it works out. So once again, that's The Other History of the DC Universe, number 1 on page 4 of the DC previews.
This is Nick with a pick from the DC Special Previews catalog from page 5 of that catalog. It is Mysteries of Love in Space, a prestige format one-shot, 80 pages, $9.99. Definitely along the lines of these sort of new talent spotlights or holiday-themed collections that they've been doing over the last couple of years. And I tend to enjoy these for the most part. Every once in a while, there are some stinker type of stories in there, but this one seems intriguing. Definitely in place here about 2 weeks before Valentine's Day, so taking an outer space approach to the Valentine's Day holiday. The cover is by Joel Jones, written by a host of talent, including James Tynion IV, Saladin Ahmed, Cecil Castellucci, Kyle Higgins, Jeff Loveness, and others, with art by Tom Grummett, Kyle Hotz, Elena Casagrande, Max Dunbar, and others. And the solicitation says, "Sometimes love can make you feel like you're from another planet. But what if you actually were? Join Superman, the New Gods, Green Lantern, Starro, Hawkgirl, and even the Teen Titans' new sensation crush for 8 tales of romance that will whisk you to the moon and back." So you can tell each of these will be a 10-page story, and it really should be kind of fun. Hopefully the stories are good. Definitely a good selection of fun. So check it out this Valentine's Day season.
Billy Hogan again. My third pick comes this time in the DC Comics insert on page 6 with Superman 100-page Super Spectacular number 1, written by Marv Wolfman, art and cover by Claudio Castellini. This is the best Superman story I've ever written, so says living legend Marv Wolfman. And when you've written hundreds of Superman stories as he has, it means a great deal. This gem of a tale, written and drawn from 2006 to 2009 for the Superman Confidential series, explodes from the DC archives as a triumphant tale of Clark Kent's fateful first days in Metropolis, which were far from easy. His early failures almost ensured there would never be a hero called Superman. Powerful writing and stunning art combined to conjure an inspiring story that needed to be published, one you will never forget, from a pair of master storytellers. This is a one-shot in a prestige format on sale January 30th of 2019. It's 96 pages. Well, with the covers, it's 100 pages, of course, for $9.99. Back in the mid-70s, DC Comics used to publish a number of 100-page super spectaculars of its titles. The first story would be a new adventure, and the rest of the issue would be reprints, which were a lot of fun because most of these stories were first published before I was born, so they were a special treat to be able to read again. And Marv Wolfman is on my short list of my favorite Superman writers. I think my favorite one was an issue of Action in the latter part of its run before Crisis on Infinite Earths, where these aliens invaded Earth, made Superman disappear so that they could conquer Earth, until two young boys decide to invent their own superhero and manage to bring Superman back to life so that he can defeat the aliens. It was a direct homage to the Superman creators of Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. And that's issue 554, in case you're interested. So I'm looking forward to a new version of the old Superman Super Spectacular, and when I get it, it's going to be at the bottom of my list because it's going to be one of the issues I'll be looking forward to reading the most. Billy Hogan again. My fourth pick is still in the DC Comics insert of previews, this time on page 7 with Action Comics issue number 1006 and 1007, written by Brian Michael Bendis. Issue 1006 art and cover by Ryan Sook. Issue 1007 art and cover by Steve Epting. Issue 1006 variant cover by Francis Manapole. Issue 1007 variant cover by Patrick Gleason. The Red Cloud sets her sights on someone close to Superman, But how can the Man of Steel stop a villain he can't touch? As the invisible mafia controlling Metropolis Underworld steps more into the light, its leader finally stands revealed with a secret that will have massive implications for Superman and Clark Kent. Then the Cobra Cult conspiracy ensnares Daily Planet photographer Jimmy Olsen, drawing the attention of the Man of Steel. But be careful, Superman. There's more lurking in the shadows of Metropolis than just a snake cult. Issue 1000 on sale January 2nd, 2019. Issue 1007 on sale January 30th of 2019. Issue 1006 is delayed from December because it was going to be released in the week between Christmas and New Year's. So we get two issues of Action Comics. I'm really enjoying Action Comics with Brian Michael Bendis, especially issue number 1004, which I received at the beginning of the week. It's about my favorite issue that Brian Michael Bendis has written so far. So I would recommend jumping on with Action Comics 1006 and 1007. Billy Hogan again. My fifth pick is still in the DC Comics insert, this time on page 62 with Superman number 7, written by Brian Michael Bendis, art by Ivan Reis, Joe Prado, and Brandon Peterson, cover by Ivan Reis and Joe Prado, variant cover by David Finch. It's the moment you've been waiting for, the shocking return of the son of Superman. A year spent traveling the stars changed John Kent. Our parents, Clark and Lois, ready for the all-new, all-different Superboy? Secrets are revealed, a new look debuts, and Superman's world is changed forever. On sale January 16th, 2019, with the cover price of $3.99 for 32 pages. I'm looking forward to seeing what happened to Jonathan. I'm kind of hoping they don't age Jonathan into a teenager, but regardless, I'm looking forward to reading this issue because I've enjoyed what Brian Michael Bendis has been doing with the Superman family of characters.
Hello, once again, this is Alan, Alien Al on the forums. I'm in Japan, and my next pick in this month's preview spotlight is in the DC catalog, and I'm on page 70, and my pick is The Wild Storm, number 19, written by Warren Ellis, art and cover beautifully done by John Davis Hunt, and there's a variant cover by Marley Zarcone, I think. Beginning the fourth story arc of The Wild Storm, Jenny Mae Sparks has been around for over a century. She's seen a lot of things. Enough bad stuff that she took 20 years off to get drunk. And now she's back, and she has a plan. The problem is that other people have plans too, and one of them is about reducing the population of Earth by around 90%. Hey, take that, Thanos. Not just 50%, 90%. Okay, anyway, it's on sale also January 23rd for $3.99, and I've been reading, of course, this title from the beginning, and I'm liking the callbacks to the old Wildstorm universe, and I'm enjoying the somewhat complicated story. It's not really moving along fast enough for me, but it gives me just a bit with each issue that it keeps me interested. Okay, on to the next pick.
Hey, this is James back with my next pick, and this time I'm in the DC section, and believe it or not, I'm not looking at any comics. I'm looking at collected series. Some of the comics that I was interested in, some other people had picked, and I wasn't going to add too much to the conversation. So I went to the back half, and I am woefully lacking in DC books from the past, so I tend to pick up big collections, nice collections, and I'm on page 73. I'm looking at The Authority Omnibus hardcover. It is written by Warren Ellis, Mark Miller, Grant Morrison, and others, and then art by Brian Hitch, Frank Quietly, John McCrae, and others. So it sounds like a great lineup of talent. $99, or basically I'll get it for half off at Cowabunga. If you guys aren't getting that kind of discount, email Eric. He'll get you hooked up. And this one's 984 pages, so it's not the biggest one, but it's a decent size omnibus. And I don't know much about the Authority. I missed the boat on that. So I'm going to read you what it says. As the 21st century dawns, the Authority meets a previously unchallenged class of villains, the power brokers who manipulate the world's political figureheads to advance their own selfish interest. So when the Authority begins to seriously upset their hard-won networks of control, the backlash that results is as swift as it is devastating. And then it talks about, you know, this new hardcover collects all this stuff. So I would, if you're like me, you never read this stuff. I like picking up omnibus chunks. I just love those big oversized hardcovers. And now I'll have it all in one big collection. And who knows, maybe they'll have an omnibus too. I have no idea how long the Authority was. But I'm interested to read it. Looks like they have some good talent on this. On to my next pick. Hey, this is James back with my next pick. Also in DC, also another omnibus. Sorry to bore you guys with this stuff, but I'm into these omnibus. I love them. So this time I'm on page 76, and I picked up the first volume previously. It came out several months ago, probably 6 months ago. And this is Batman by Grant Morrison Omnibus Volume 2 hardcover. If you did not get the first one, it may still be available. Like I said, I already have it. I unfortunately have not read it, but I'm going to pick up the second one since I already got the first one. And if I order ahead of time with Eric, I get 50% off. So I will be picking this up for $37.50, and it is 744 pages. And they're basically saying offer it again, the first omnibus. So yeah, it is available, it looks like, on this order form. I'm not going to read you a lot about what's going on. You guys know who Batman is, what he does, but this is collecting Grant Morrison. I don't know if his run was good. I don't know if his run was horrible, but I like some of what Grant Morrison does. Some of his stuff I don't like, but Batman, not my favorite character, but he's a decent character, decent writer. I'll give it a go. So I'm going to pick this up to have the whole collection. I think this will be the last one because this is a pretty small omnibus. Usually if there's a lot of material, they do larger ones. So check it out if that sounds like it's something you're into, and on to my next pick.
Hi, this is Bronze Age Paul with my very first ever contribution to the Preview Spotlight episode. And I am on page 83 of the DC supplement with the DC Universe Bronze Age Omnibus by Jack Kirby. This is a great compilation of a bunch of really wild stuff. You've got 16 issues of The Demon. You've got 8 issues of OMAC, which is a crazy series. It got 12 issues of Our Fighting Forces. You got 2 different superpowers miniseries, some old first issue specials, just some great stuff by the King of Comics. And, you know, I actually won't be buying this. I have the old hardcover versions of the omnibus split into like 3 or 4 different volumes. But this is, I recommend this to anybody who's interested in sort of the history of comics, what the Bronze Age, when the King came over to DC, this was big news back in the early 70s. Pick it up. It's probably an advance order. It's not on sale till July of next year. It's $150 retail, 1,472 pages, once again on page 83 of the DC supplement. Hi, this is Bronze Age Paul again with my second pick from the DC supplement. It's actually on the very next page to my last one. It's coming on page 84. Neil Gaiman and Charles Vest's Stardust trade paperback. It's a sort of coming-of-age story. It's a Vertigo series from back in the day. And something I've never read. I didn't get all the Vertigo titles back in the day. So I'm really looking forward to trying this one out and seeing what it's all about. I mean, the Charles Vest art is going to be spectacular. You know, is just fantastic. I'm sure it's going to be spectacular. And, you know, it's hard to go wrong with a Neil Gaiman story. So look for it on page 84. It's on sale in February. 256-page trade paperback for $19.99. And tell them Bronze Age Paul sent you.
My next pick is on page 134 of the previews catalog, and it is Star Trek The Next Generation IDW 2020. It is a one-shot celebrating 20 years of IDW with new stories about classic characters. In this case, it is a tale in the past for Jean-Luc Picard back when he was captain of the Stargazer. It looks like we're going to have Beverly Crusher, and presumably the other guy is Wesley's father. And I'm curious how that goes. It's written by Peter David, who's really a very talented writer in general, but also in Star Trek and specifically Star Trek The Next Generation. Although probably his crowning achievement there is kind of carving out his own branch of the franchise with the New Frontiers novels. We've got J.K. Woodward on the art, who's done a terrific job. IDW's really done a great job with the Star Trek stuff. I like Next Gen. I like Picard. I'm curious about the tale. So this one shot seemed like a pretty obvious no-brainer for me. I think you should check it out if you're into The Next Generation or Captain Picard, or Peter David's writing for that matter. So once again, that's Star Trek The Next Generation IDW 2020 on page 134.
This is Nick with a pick from the IDW section of the main previews catalog, page 151. Star Trek The Q Conflict, number 1 of 6. I suspect John may have something to say about this one too, but if not, just to read the solicitation here. When a dispute between godlike beings threatens the galaxy, it will take all of Starfleet's best captains to stop them. Join James T. Kirk, Jean-Luc Picard, Catherine Janeway, and Benjamin Sisko as they go head-to-head in a competition that will determine the fate of the Earth and beyond. Will they be able to emerge victorious? Or will they be torn apart by the Q conflict? A soon-to-be classic 6-part miniseries begins here. And of course, they highlight that these are the crews of The Next Generation, the original series, Voyager, and Deep Space Nine coming together. So it should be fun. Script is by Scott Tipton and David Tipton, who've done a lot of work on these Star Trek comics. And artist is David Messina.
This is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with my next pick in the IDW section under the Black Crown heading on page 165. It's Lodger, number 4, by David Lapham and Maria Lapham. The line between hunter and hunted gets blurred when the Lodger gives into temptation. And out on the open road, Ricky and Gold Digger close in for the kill. David Lapham is the creator of Straight Bullets. If you know Straight Bullets at all, and you like Straight Bullets, naturally you're going to try The Lodger. If you don't like Straight Bullets, The Lodger's a little bit different, at least from that first issue that I read. You may want to give it a shot because Straight Bullets is out and out crime, and, you know, there could be a lot of stuff that may not appeal to people. In The Lodger, he is trying something a little bit stepping outside of just a simple crime world. I read the first issue this week and I was lost, absolutely lost. I just said, you know what, I may not even get any more of these because I want to understand my comics. So don't let this scare you away, because I then reread the solicit for number 1 and I realized, Todd, you idiot, you were reading this thing the wrong way. And I'm sure many people probably were. Let me give you a hint. If you got The Lodger, I'm not spoiling anything. The captions are the Lodger speaking or writing. The captions are the words of the quote-unquote bad guy, creature, killer of the family of the woman, or the young woman who is chasing him down. So you could get confused. You might think she's the one that's writing the captions. She isn't writing the captions. It still will probably make a lot more sense as it goes forward. But after I realized that, I reread it. And you know what? This looks like it's going to be a good series. I don't know if this is a mini series or not. This is issue number 4 that's being solicited, but you know, if number 2 continues to intrigue me now that I know how to read the darn thing, then I think this is going to turn out to be a really good David Lapham, Maria Lapham collaboration. And I look forward to it.
This is Nick with my next pick from the main previews catalog, page 170 in the IDW section. It's an entry for the O Books imprint, and this is Swamp Monsters, a hardcover collection of pre-code horror comics. There's a discrepancy here whether or not it's 144 pages or 240 pages, but it is for $24.99. The description here says, something's out there in the mad, murky depths of the fear-filled, sinister swamp. Some swamp thing is coming for you, and it's out for mud. The terror team that brought you Zombies, Return of the Zombies, and the terrifyingly popular hit series Haunted Horror takes you on an excursion of evil into the dankest, laguniest corners of your nightmares, and dredging up over 240 pages of icky, drippy, slimy, grimy beasts from the grungy bottom of the Precode Comics blog. Swamp Monsters includes a fascinating introduction by comics legend and acclaimed artist of Swamp Thing, Swampy Stephen Bizet. It also mentions in the pages you'll see full color classic comics by Meyer Munster Masters, Bob Powell, Lou Cameron, Hi Fleischman, Lynn Streeter, The Iger Shop, and Marshy Moore. So, anyway, if you're a sucker for swamp monsters, such as the Swamp Thing or Man Thing, check this one out. It should be pretty interesting to check out some really old comics in the genre.
And back with another episode of the Comic Book Pages Monthly Previews Edition. My name is Chris Brawley, a.k.a. Brawlinator on the forums, and I've got a handful of picks this month, and I'm starting out in the Marvel Supplemental. First up, it's Conan the Barbarian, issues number 1 and 2. Now, this starts right there on page, the very first page, and goes all the way through page 7 for issue 2. This is, of course, the triumphant return of one of my favorite comic characters. In fact, it was one of the very first comics that excited me as a young boy. I was first introduced to the Cimmerian around the end of 1976 with Conan the Barbarian, issue number 71, and my affection for comics was probably changed forever. Marvel held that license for Conan until issue 275, and I think that was after probably at least 600 plus Conan issues total if you count the magazines. Marvel eventually lost the Conan license officially around 2000, 2001, and Dark Horse Comics picked it up in 2003. Well, it was announced this past summer that Marvel was bringing Conan home, and now legendary writer Jason Aaron will helm the new tales of the sword-slashing hero, bringing him to life alongside star artist Mahmoud Azrar. Aaron and Azrar are joined by cover artist Esad Ribic and colorist Matt Wilson. Now, I don't know how this is going to work out. I've got high hopes, and I'm going to give the first few issues a shot. The original run of Conan was mostly one-and-done stories that occasionally fit into an overarching journey, and I hope Marvel continues that tradition, and I hope they don't just decompress the storytelling like they've been doing for most of their books these days. Also, in an era where there is a lot of very poor art coming out of Marvel, I hope they keep Azrar on this book and artists of his caliber. As much as I like Conan, I just won't pick up art that sucks. And I'm sorry if that's harsh language. I know some people don't care about the art. To me, this is sequential art. That's what comic books are all about. And if I don't find the art appealing, I'm never going to get into the story. I think good art can save a bad story, but I just don't think good storytelling can overcome terrible art. You know, I'm one of these guys that's spoiled by talent like John Buscema, Ernie Chan, Frank Frazetta, and so on, who have, they're masters at doing Conan. And if Marvel puts a weak artist on this book, well, they've lost me. Just like my 8-year-old niece would never read Uncle Scrooge comics that were drawn by Bill Sienkiewicz. I might look at that, but she won't. Anyhow, you guys get the drift. I'm going a little long here, and I have one more Conan solicit that I want to share. Again, this is for Conan the Barbarian, the new series, starting in January, issues 1 and 2.
Hey, this is James. Once again, on the forums, JR Phoenix. I am back with my next pick, and this time I'm in the Marvel Supplemental. And somebody already picked my favorite character, my favorite comic. Conan the Barbarian 1 and 2 are coming out in this previews. If you guys don't read Conan, you're not my friend. No, I'm just kidding. Conan's near and dear to my heart. It's one of the comics that was I can say my favorite comic when I was growing up. So since somebody else was going to point those out, and I did give you my little, you know, little spiel right here, I'm going to have you focus in on pages 8 and 9 of the Marvel's preview supplemental, because this one is actually pretty cool. You guys who have not read the old Conan stuff, now is your time. Conan, True Believers Month. There are 10 of them. $1 issues of large or important Conan stories that you can pick up for $1 from the original Marvel comics that came out in the 70s, 80s, 90s. I don't think it went much beyond the 90s. I can't remember. But some of the highlights on here, you can pick up the first issue of Conan from 1970. They have issue 4, issue 17, 23, 37, 58. Like 58 is Queen of the Black Coast. I remember that's, I think it's Belit, is her name? I can't remember what her name was. Then they have the True Believers reprinting the Secret Skull River. So many King Conans are reprinted. What If Conan's reprinted? So there's a lot of cool stuff here. If you guys haven't read a lot of Conan or you're not a big Conan fan, check out this early stuff. I guarantee you the new stuff will be way better by Jason Aaron. I know that may be offensive to some of you guys, but these things were kind of whitewashed. The old Conan stories, the Comic Code Authority kind of took over, so there's only so much you can put in there. The real Conan I consider to be the Savage Sword of Conan, the black and white magazines. So I'm hoping Jason Aaron's kind of skews more heavily into the more mature Conan that I really loved. But check these out. It's a cheap way to read some old classic Conan comics. On to my next pick.
Brawlinator again. I'm on pages 8 and 9 in the Marvel supplemental. I'm looking at these True Believers issues of Conan. Now, if I were going to pick up just one issue, I would recommend the one right there at the bottom left of page 9. What If Conan the Barbarian Walked the Earth Today? That is a reprint of What If number 13 from 1977. It may be 78, actually. I just recommend this one. It is a classic What If story from Volume 1. It's fantastic. Later on in other issues of What If, Conan went on to battle Captain America in a sequel to this issue. He's also battled Thor, but this story is just exceptional. I think it's what inspired the latest volume of Red Sonja over at Dynamite, which also is basically a fish-out-of-water story set in the modern era. Check it out. It's super cheap. In fact, all of these issues are great stories. Listen, I've got the first 130 issues of Marvel's Conan the Barbarian and the full run of King Conan, so I am a little bit biased, but there are some classic issues here. All the issues on the left are from that first volume of Conan the Barbarian. They're all classic issues, some of them 23 in the lower left. That is the first appearance of Red Sonja. The one on the lower right is the first appearance of Belit. Of course, the upper left is the very first issue, which features Barry Windsor Smith art. And then, of course, over on the right-hand side, that top left is the very first magazine, Conan. So I know that's going to be in black and white. The first King Conan on the upper right, also a classic, John Buscema art. These are great. These are all great. Get any of them. But if I were just going to pick one, I'd say the What If reprint is the one to go with, and that's my pick in the True Believers this month. Brawlinator again. I'm still in Marvel. Who'da thunk it? Just one page over. I'm on page 10 looking at an exciting and unexpected new title. It's Guardians of the Galaxy number 1, and honestly, the only reason I'm getting this is for that creative team. I couldn't care less about these characters, but Donnie Cates and Jeff Shaw blew me away when I first picked up their Image miniseries, God Country. And what they did on Thanos recently was equally impressive. So when I saw they were reuniting to relaunch Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy with a whole new team in 2019, I knew I wanted to check it out. They just tell fun, exciting stories that remind me of what I used to love about Cape comics when I was a kid. Let me read the solicit here. Who will stand? The universe is on fire. Hundreds of worlds are at war. Never has there been such hatred and division across the cosmos. And in spite of all this, Thanos of Titan is still dead. Or is he? Now more than ever, the cosmos needs the Guardians of the Galaxy. But in the aftermath of the Infinity Wars, who is left to answer the call? Featuring every cosmic superhero in the known universe by Thanos Wynn's creative team, Donny Cates and Jeff Shaw. Pick this up. I'm willing to wager it's going to be a hit. And it's on pages 10 and 11 of the Marvel Previews. It's right there on the cover. You can't miss it.
Hello, this is Alien Al 121 on the forums, also known as Alan in Japan. And this time, my pick in this month's preview spotlight comes from the Marvel section. And I'm on page 15. And the title is Black Widow, number one. Writers, Jin and Sylvia Soska. Artists, Flaviano. Cover by Clayton Crane. Variant cover by Mirka Andolfo. Variant cover by Kevin Nolan. Oh, that's a good one. Hidden Gem variant cover by John Buscema. What? Okay, interesting. Oh, this is, has a lot of variants, I'm guessing. All right, and hell followed her, the solicit reads. Natasha Romanoff was trained to kill. For years now, she's tried to overcome that programming to side with the angels to be a hero. And where did that get her? Killed by one of the few true friends she allowed herself to have. Now she's back from the dead, angry as hell, and finding those better angels harder and harder to hear. Jin and Sylvia Soska, the twisted twins of horror. I haven't heard of them, but okay. Join rising artist Flaviano to weave a web of vice, violence, and vengeance that will net Natasha the biggest bad men she's ever faced, or put her back in the ground for good. 32 pages, $3.99. And I'm getting this one mostly because I enjoyed the Mark Waid, Chris Samnee version of the series just before this. And I thought, it's always nice to kind of see what the next creative team does, see if it can improve on it or, you know, give a little different outlook on Natasha. And so, and, you know, because I'm still waiting for that Black Widow movie, I'm going to read this until that comes. Okay, that's all for me this month. Thanks, John, for letting us make these picks. And on to the next pick.
My next pick is on page 16 of the Marvel Previews, and it is Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man number 1. Now, we've just gotten off a period where we had pretty much 2-3 issues a month of Amazing Spider-Man, and that was the main Peter Parker title. Now they're going back to having multiple ones. They are starting up Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, and I forget off the top of my head what the other Spider-Man title is going to be, but anyways, they're going to have plenty. What makes this one of interest, though, is it's written by Tom Taylor. Now he's done a bunch of wonderful stuff. I would say specifically the Injustice Gods Among Us and Injustice 2 and all that stuff over at DC, but very talented writer. I think he's got a sensibility that'll work good with Spider-Man, and this seems to be looking more at Spider-Man and Peter Parker's neighborhood and home life than just his grand adventures or whatever. Either way, I'm a Spider-Man fan. I'm going to check it out and think you should too. So once again, that's Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man number 1 on page 16 of the Marvel Previews. Check it out. My next pick is on page 18 of the Marvel Previews, and it is Invaders number 1. We're getting the team-up of Captain America, Namor, Human Torch, and the Winter Soldier, which is pretty much most of the original Invaders. We don't have Toro, although I don't think he was technically one of the original ones, and there's two or three other characters that were closely associated with the team that they could pull in, specifically Union Jack and Spitfire, although off the top of my head I'm trying to remember their current status quo. Either way, this should be a lot of fun. There's a lot going on with Namor, I believe, these days, although I'm a little behind on I'm a lot behind on my Marvel reading. I need to catch up. But I'm a big Captain America fan, and I like the Jim Hammond version of the Human Torch. Again, hope we see Toro and some of the other classic Invaders and stuff coming back. We've got different people on the art. It's Carlos Magno, who I'm not familiar with, and Butch Geis, who I love. So I've got high hopes on the art here. We've got Chip Zdarsky on the writing, and they've done different Invader series over the years. Some have worked better than others, and I'm hoping this is one of those. But big fan of the World War II stuff. The only thing that could have made this better is if somehow Roy Thomas were to come back and relive his glory days of World War II, which he did both at Marvel and DC. I really loved his DC stuff with All-Star Squadron and whatnot. But either way, Chip Zdarsky and whatnot have this, I think, well in hand. This is, again, celebrating 80 years of Marvel Comics, going back to some of their earlier characters and whatnot. I'm looking forward to it and think you should check it out. So once again, that's Invaders number 1 on page 18 of the Marvel Previews.
It's Drew again with a pick from Marvel this time. It is Champions number 1. Still written by Jim Zub, so this is yet another unnecessary renumbering of a title that was fine, but whatever. We're used to it by now, I guess. I really enjoyed Champions. I was a little hesitant after Mark Waid launched it so strongly and to hand it over to Jim Zub, but I think he's done a really good job with it, with the property, so I'm still enjoying it a lot, and I think this will be a good, obviously a good place to hop on, since it's a number one. I'm sure it'll be super accessible for everyone. It comes out January 2nd. It's a $3.99 book. And if you've liked any of the Champions in the past, check it out. If you haven't, well, give it a shot anyway.
Hey, this is James back with my next pick. And this time I am on page 29 in the Marvel Supplemental. And I'm looking at Crypt of Shadows number 1 by Al Ewing, I don't know how you pronounce his name, and Gary Brown on art, and more. All new horror story. Love that. It's a one-shot. It's $3.99. This is Marvel's, apparently, 80th anniversary. Says they have some cool stuff. Some people were already picking, like, the war books, and there's a sci-fi story in here. There's a whole bunch of little one-shots that are coming out, which I'm kind of excited to read. So I picked the horror story because I do like horror. Al Ewing is doing a great job in Immortal Hulk, which is a horror take on Hulk. And I'm going to read you what it says here on the solicit. For Marvel's 80th anniversary, we've gone into the vaults to bring back some classic titles from Marvel's yesteryear. But maybe some vaults should have stayed closed. Something terrifying has broken free and crawled forth from one of the most terrifying corners of Marveldom, the Crypt of Shadows. Prepare for terror. The shadows are deeper than you think, and horrors lurk within. Well, this is coming out way after Halloween, but it is part of Marvel's 80th. But I'm into horror comics anyway, so I think this will be a good read. So if it sounds like it's something up your alley, check it out. On to my next pick.
Brawlinator again. I'm here with my final Marvel pick, and it is on page 31. It's War is Hell number 1. Now, I remember loving the old war comics, like Sergeant Rock and so on, and Weird Tales comics growing up. And in honor of Marvel's 80th anniversary and the history with war comics, they're putting out this brand new edition of War is Hell with two fascinating and soul-crushing tales of war. It says, In the Mood by Howard Chaykin takes you to the skies of the Luftwaffe and Royal Air Force battles over the English Channel for a battle tale of bitter irony. And War Glamour by Philip Kennedy Johnson brings you back to Earth in modern-day Afghanistan with a story that will chill you to the bone. This sounds like it might be some of those Weird Tale war comics. I'm hoping it is. Back in 08, Chaykin did a War as Hell Max series with Garth Ennis for Marvel, but I don't think this is related to that. And of course, back in the early 70s, there was a title called War as Hell that actually starred Death, who forced a dishonorable Polish-American who was killed in the invasion of Poland, forced that character to die countless deaths from other lives in battles. I don't think this has got anything to do with that. Now, this is just a one-shot. It's coming out along with several other one-shots that are celebrating Marvel's 80th anniversary. As many of you know, they started in 1939, back then as Timely Publications. I really don't know much else about them, but I'm game for War is Hell on page 31 in this month's Marvel Previews.
My next pick is on page 33 of the Marvel Previews, and it is Marvel Comics Presents number 1. This is launching a new ongoing series, and they've got three different writers and artists listed, so I'm believing this is going to be an anthology series, much like it originally was. That's a pro and a con. I think a lot of people are not big fans of anthology series, myself among them. However, the original run of Marvel Comics Presents lasted, I'm going to say, around 150 issues, but I could be off on that by a bit, and had some, admittedly, some tales were pretty much just filler and they had to put something in there, but others were pretty classic and well-remembered. And I'm hoping that this is something that they do a good mix of having some top-tier talent on it every issue, but also giving some new people a chance to try out, you know, a short story or something like that and get their feet wet. This one's going to start with Wolverine, Captain America, and Namor as the lead, so they've got some big-name characters there. Hopefully that'll help. And Charles Soule is one of the writers, so is Ann Nesenti, so is Greg Pak. So they're coming out with some good talent out of the gate. Hopefully this will work pretty well and they'll tell some stories that are actually important and relevant to the ongoing Marvel Universe, but time will tell. Anyways, it's 40 pages for $4.99, three stories. Hopefully it'll be worth checking out. Once again, that's Marvel Comics Presents number one on page 33 of the Marvel Previews.
Hi, this is Bronze Age Paul again, my third and final pick for my first go at the preview spotlight. I'm now in the Marvel section, and I want to call attention to the Amazing Spider-Man Volume 4 Omnibus. This is a book that collects issues 105 to 142, plus a couple others, from just terrific Spider-Man stories in the early to mid-70s. This is right when I started collecting Spider-Man, and, you know, it's got a great, cover on the direct market edition with, you know, the Punisher and Mary Jane. It includes the death of Gwen and the Green Goblin in there. It's got some great stories with art by John Romita, Gil Kane, Ross Andrew, and others. So really looking forward. It's a hefty one. It's $125 for 976 pages. Again, volume 4, Amazing Spider-Man Omnibus. Look for that. Thanks.
Hi, it's Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with a pick from the Marvel catalog on page 101 of the Marvel catalog, and it's Kirby is Fantastic, King Size Hardcover, written by Stan Lee, penciled by Jack Kirby. Where have I heard those names before? Solicit says Kirby is the greatest storytelling mind in comic book history. Kirby is an architect of the world's most famous universe of characters. Kirby is Fantastic, the first in a line of supergiant king-size hardcovers celebrating the incomparable talent of Jack the King Kirby. Kirby is Fantastic brings together a selection of all-time great issues from his tenure on Fantastic Four. Then it goes on to name some of the issues that are in it, and actually it names all of the issues that are in it from the original Fantastic Four run, number 4, number 12, number 25 and 26, number 52 and 53, number 66 and 67, 84 and 87, and annual number 6. Now, what's wrong with this solicit? Well, what's right about this solicit is that this is a fantastic book. I'm sure it will look really cool as a king size, and Kirby is a god, and Kirby's Fantastic Four is amazing, along with Stanley, of course. And that 100 issue run is a classic run. I would recommend anyone to find the complete run in your favorite hardcover manner and put it on your bookshelf. But in this case, they're giving you this king size version, and they're picking out what they feel are some of the better issues. There's a problem here. Now it says not the final cover, but that cover is to Fantastic Four number 100. It's one of my all-time favorite covers. Probably is my all-time favorite cover, but not the final cover. I hope that's right, because Fantastic Four number 100 is not in this book. What is going on? Anyway, naturally, because of the cover, it jumped out at me, and so I'm now going to wax nostalgic. It's 1970. We had just moved to Dover, New Jersey. I'm 9 years old.
and we go to the local, what I call the Dolly Madison shop, because it had a Dolly Madison ice cream sign outside, but it was actually called Marty's, and it's a little smoke shop, little counter to get, you know, grilled cheese sandwich or something, who knows. And there I pick up Fantastic Four number 100. I also pick up a Spider-Man number 86, Beware the Black Widow. But I pick up these two books in that. I don't know the Fantastic Four. I'm a kid. I'm 9 years old. But I do take it with me. My father and my mother, we go to the local Traveler's Diner, and I sit down, and I order grilled cheese and french fries and I don't know what else, maybe a chocolate milk. And I begin reading Fantastic Four number 100 right there at the Traveler's Diner. And even as a kid, I'm making sure my greasy grilled cheese fingers are not rubbing all over the cover and everything. Even as a kid, I knew collectability was going to be a thing. And I'm stunned. And then I pick up the Spider-Man. I read that. Then I keep thumbing through the Fantastic Four because it's just so colorful. It's got every villain they ever faced in it. And I'm just amazed about what these comic book things are all about. It's not just about Harvey, Casper the Friendly Ghost, and Richie Rich and Archie. And it's this superhero thing. Wow. And that started me on my decades-long journey into comic collecting. So there you go. A little bit of nostalgia that was brought up because of this solicit on page 101 of the Marvel catalog, and also because of the oddness that this picture that they show of the cover of issue 100 hopefully won't be the final cover of this book, because it's certainly misleading if they don't include that entire issue. Buy it!
Hey John, this is Nick with a pick from the Dynamite section of the main previews catalog. Page number 178, Peter Cannon, Thunderbolt number 1, by writer Kieran Gillen, and I hope I pronounced this right, artist Casper Weisengard. I'll spare reading the solicitation just to say why I'm picking this one this month. I started reading a lot of these Dynamite books several years ago when they had sort of a revival of a lot of their pulp characters, and Peter Cannon's story just kind of stood out as an interesting one. Definitely the hero who didn't really care too much for the humanity that he was saving. Some interesting character developments. But here, just reading Kieran Gillen's discussion in the previous catalog on the pages following, it just seems like he's really interested in getting back to writing some superheroes after working on The Wicked and The Divine. And here's how he sums up at the very end of his interview, writing for the book. He says, "Honestly, I wish I didn't have to add anything about his writing the story. This is a pick-up-the-first-issue, will-take-you-places sort of comic. An, oh my, they're actually doing this kind of comic. I can't wait to share it and feel lucky that I get to do it. So pick it up this January, $3.99 from Dynamite Comics." This is Nick with another pick from the Dynamite section of the catalog, page 184. This one is Turok number 1. Is anybody familiar with this property? Of course, Turok is a dinosaur hunter. The solicitation for this series start, though, says, "A new hero rises. Turok pursues his kidnapped brother in the Badlands of the Old West. In the waning days of the Indian Wars, the U.S. cavalry has captured Andar, but Turok will stop at nothing to rescue him. But that quest will lead Turok, Andar, and even the soldiers to a strange, lost land inhabited by creatures beyond their imaginations. This is Turok as you've never seen him before, and Turok as you've always seen him. Written by acclaimed storyteller Ron Mars of Green Lantern, Silver Surfer, and Witchblade fame, with exquisite art by Roberto Castro. Most recently, he's worked on Red Sonja and Flash Gordon." Just, again, reading some of the interviews here with Ron Mars, also from some past experience with reading some Turok stories. It should be interesting to see what they do with Turok in the days of the Old West.
Hey Hey, this is James back with my next pick in the previews spotlight, and I'm on page 191 back in the normal previews. Actually, it's 190. I take it back, because 191 was James Bond. And this one I'm going to give a shout out to Drew to check out. Drew said he was enjoying the Hack Slash series that came out, and this is Hack Slash versus Chaos. Don't know if this will be good. The writer is Tim Seeley, so he's a decent writer. Artist Ralph Labasco. Don't know anything about Ralph Labasco, but there's several covers on this thing. If you guys haven't read Hack Slash, it's actually a pretty decent series. I actually have picked up all the Hack Slash omnibus to read, and I never really got into the Chaos comics when those came out. I think they were like in the 90s during the boom before the bust, and then they went belly up, and now Dynamite owns the Chaos license. But if this is something that you sounds like it might be up your alley, and Drew, this since you did like Hack Slash, I would say this is up your alley. Check it out. I'm going to check it out, and hopefully ends up being a good one, because Dynamite sometimes are hits, sometimes are misses. Until you get it, you don't know. But check it out. On to my next pick.
Hey guys, it's Drew with a pick from Boom Studios. This is Avant-Garde's number one. It's a 12-issue limited series. This is written by Carly Usden with art by Noah Hayes. Carly Usden last did Heavy Vinyl, which I thought was a really good series. I enjoyed that one a lot. And Noah Hayes is the artist from Goldie Vance, which is also fun. So two properties that I've really enjoyed. You put that creative team on a new title. Same publisher, and I'm going to check that out. So this looks like this could be fun. It's going to skew a little younger. It's it's basketball. It looks like college age kids. So if you don't like the kind of YA type of storytelling, it might not be for you. But I usually enjoy these, and this is a 12-issue run, so not a big commitment. Bigger than most, though. Let's see, we've got this coming out on January 23rd. It's a $3.99 book. It's Avant-Garde's number one from Boom Studios. Check that out.
This is Dr. Mo with my next pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Buffy the Vampire Slayer, number one from Boom Studios. After an extended hiatus of about 4 or 5 months, Buffy the Vampire Slayer is back at a new publisher. When we last left the Slayer, she was appearing in Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 12, The Reckoning, a 4-part series published through Dark Horse. Now, it appears that Buffy the Vampire Slayer is undergoing a bit of a reboot, courtesy of writer Jordi Belair, who is primarily known as a colorist, though Jordi has written some comic series. I believe there's a title through Image Comics. Artwork is slated to be provided by Dan Mora. Dan has worked on the Klaus series for Boom Studios by Grant Morrison. Dan Mora has also worked on Boom's Go-Go Power Rangers series and been providing covers for Marvel and DC. As a huge, huge fan of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, going back to its roots on the WB, I am very excited to see the character and the rest of the Scoobies. I'll be definitely interested in seeing what parts of the old continuity are left intact versus what are some of the new additions. I will admit, I was off the Buffy train for a little while in comics form. However, that last Dark Horse series just rekindled something in me, this love of Buffy. And so I'm curious to see what Boom Studios does with the property. They've had a good track record when it comes to Power Rangers and some other media comics. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, number one, can be found on page 208 in the Boom Studios section of previews.
This is Nick with a pick from the Boom Studios section of the main previews catalog, page 221. This is Black Badge number 6, written by Matt Kent. But especially for me, what I highly recommend this issue for is the art by series regular Tyler Jenkins. We've heard a little bit or learned a little bit about the program that the Black Badge scouts are part of. This one promises to be maybe a little bit more about the legacy or history of the program. As the solicitation reads, the Black Badge program has been around for generations and has a storied history to match. The Black Badge program is built on legacies, on recommendations, on families. How many fathers have sent their sons to a new class of Black Badges? Check it out this January for $3.99. And if nothing else, again, just worth it alone for that Tyler Jenkins art.
Billy Hogan again. My sixth and final pick comes this time in the back half of previews on page 236 with Strangers in Paradise 25, number 9. Writer, story, and cover artist Terry Moore. Kachu's worst nightmares come true when a gunman breaks into her Santa Fe home and holds Francine and the kids hostage. 2,300 miles away, Kachu must complete her mission to deliver an ancient papyrus for Stephanie or lose her family. The stakes have never been higher in the penultimate issue of Terry Moore's romantic thriller. It's 24 pages, black and white, with a color cover for $3.99. I received issue 7 at the beginning of the week, and the stakes have really started to get higher for Kachu and her family, and I can't wait to read this issue when the fat really hits the fire. I'm a fan of anything Terry Moore does. He's a master of story progression and characterization, and I've never been disappointed in any issue that Terry Moore has done. So if your taste in comic books is anything other than superhero titles, I would recommend Strangers in Paradise 25, number 9. And if I'm not mistaken, the first half of this series has already been collected in a trade paperback. Back to you, John, and thanks for providing this forum so that we can share our enthusiasm for the comic book medium.
This is Nick with a pick from the Action Lab Entertainment entries for the previews catalog, coming from page 236. This one is for Albert Einstein, Time Mason, number 4. Now, to be honest, I've already got, I believe, the first issue or two of this series, but have not had a chance to read it. But the basic description for the series is, what if Albert Einstein was recruited as sort of a time lord type character to go back in time and fix mistakes in the timeline and keep things on track. The art looks really fun. This is written by Marcus Perry with art duty taken care of by Tony Donnelly. And I'll highly recommend the Tony Donnelly cover for this one. It's basically a take on the Fistful of Dollars, a movie poster, an old Clint Eastwood movie. So definitely a good way to start off the book. In this case, left for dead in the Old West, Albert Einstein has to get the train back on the tracks if he wants to stop a thief from destroying our time stream. And the only way to do that is to hijack a train with legendary young gun, Billy the Kid. But as Einstein closes in on the villain, his secret identity is threatening to be exposed back at Princeton. Saddle up for this epic adventure. This is $3.99. And again, I recommend the Fistful of Physics version of the cover by Donnelly.
It's Drew again with a pick from Aftershock. This time it's Walk Through Hell, number 8. This is a Garth Ennis book with art by Goran Sadzuka. This has been really fun, mysterious, but really well written, kind of a edge of your seat type stuff that's happening. We're along for the ride, and it's just been, you know, part police procedural, part supernatural, which I know gets a little overused, but I'm having fun with this horror story that's going on within a police kind of drama. So it's something to definitely check out in trade or sample that first issue. It's Walk Through Hell, number 8, and it's from Aftershock.
Hey, this is James back with my next pick, and this time I'm on page 256, And I see that somebody on the forums already picked a different Ahoy comic, but I'm interested in a different Ahoy comic than them. I am looking at, believe it or not, Captain Ginger, number 4. This story is insane. That's the only way I can describe it. Insanely funny. It's hilarious. If you are into cats and you're into comedy, this comic was custom written for you. I read the first issue and I just couldn't believe it. I told my wife, I'm like, you have to read this. We have cats. It's funny. She doesn't like comics, but she's like, when I have time, but I'm going to make her read this. This one's good. Captain Ginger, it's like season 1 concludes with this one. So I guess it's the wrap up of the first 4 issue arc. And please, 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 please come back with the next issue or the next season. Very good stuff. Written by Stuart Moore. The artist is June Brigman and Various. I don't know who Various is, but no, just kidding. The other one that I would point out, and it's just because I'm recording this on a Tuesday, October 30th. Tonight, John and I are recording. We are going to be doing a review of High Heaven number 2. I like number 1 and number 2. I'm saying that now. This, you know, recording will come way out after that review. But High Heaven number 5 is in here. It's been a really good read, so definitely check that out if you're interested in it. And if you don't have the earlier issues, because this is issue number 4 of Captain Ginger and number 5 of High Heaven, Eric is really good at tracking things down, so definitely get in touch with him because he may be able to get you caught up to where they're currently coming out. All right, on to my next pick.
This is Dr. Mo with my next pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's The Wrong Earth, number 5, from Ahoy Comics. Dragonfly continues to be trapped on the zany world of Earth Alpha, while Dragonfly Man is trying to keep from being Snyderized on Earth Omega. As you can tell by the numbering, The Wrong Earth is already on issue 5, and it just feels like yesterday. Every time this comic comes out, I cannot wait to read not only the story by Tom Peyer and drawn by Jamal Igel, but this comic has some really interesting backup material as well. You're definitely getting your money's worth with this title for $3.99. I personally think The Wrong Earth is Ahoy Comics' flagship title. From what I understand, it is only a 6-issue series. Hopefully sales are strong enough that this title will return in some form at a later date. Certainly one of the reasons why I'm plugging this. I think Ahoy has come out of the gate fairly strong with this title because it feels like the Marvel DC title you would get without all of the continuity baggage. Plus, again, I cannot stress how much Jamal Igel is turning in some beautiful, beautiful pages. Before Jamal Igel drew this title, he was working on a title called Black for Black Mask Studios. I think one of the reasons why I love Igel's work here on The Wrong Earth more than I enjoy his work on Black is because it's in full color. Igel is a traditional superhero artist. He is not afraid, clearly loves the medium, and I certainly wholeheartedly embrace him. If you haven't read any of this out, I suggest you go back and get issues 1 through 5. If you cannot get them at your local comic shop, I'm certain that you can find them through Comixology. Cannot stress how good The Wrong Earth is. The Wrong Earth, number 5, can be found in the Ahoy Comics section of previews on page 256. Thank you.
Brawlinator again. I'm in the back of the main previews book in the Alterna section on page 257. Now, I've talked about Alterna before, I've sung their praises, and if you've missed some of their releases, or maybe you got on board late, then this could be the comic for you. Plus, it's super cheap. I'm talking under a dollar. Yep, Alterna Comics is continuing their model of printing on newsprint and keeping their comics priced at $1.50 or less. And this particular comic is called ICYMI. ICYMI. It's an acronym for In Case You Missed It. And this is issue number one, and it kicks off a monthly series that features all ages and young adult comics that were previously published a year ago or longer at Alterna Comics. This issue reprints Mr. Crypt number one, which is one of their best reviewed all ages comics, and I highly recommend this. I hope you'll check it out, and I hope you'll support Alterna Comics. Brawlinator, once more, this is my last pick. I'm also still on page 257 from Alterna Comics. It's The Chair Trade Paperback. Now, first of all, Alterna's trades are not printed on newsprint, so this is a $9.99 trade of one of their first big series. In fact, this series was recently optioned as a movie, and the movie stars Rowdy Roddy Piper in his latest role. Actually, the movie can be seen on Amazon Prime right now. It's also called The Chair, starring Naomi Grossman from American Horror Story, Zach Galligan, you may remember him from Gremlins, and Noah Hathaway from The Neverending Story, and Emmy Award-winning actor Bill Oberst Jr., and like I said, Rowdy Roddy Piper. That was his final role before he passed away. Let me read the solicit for this trade. Richard Sullivan has spent the last 10 years as an innocent man on death row, witnessing savage killings at the hands of the sadistic and psychotic warden. Sullivan fights to escape his fate, but as events unravel, Sullivan is forced to question his sanity and confront his own horrific past. Sounds positively creepy. And that's it for me this month. Thanks again, John. I always enjoy taking part in these previews episodes. I look forward to connecting with everybody on the Slack channel and hearing everyone else's picks this month, too. I'll see you in the forums.
Hey, this is James back with my next pick. And again, it's another weird one. I'm on page 274, and I'm looking at Avatar Press. Avatar used to be one of my favorite publishers. I've been jumping on all their stuff that they come out with as it comes out. But they have a new series. I'll check that. It's not a new series. It's a continuation of a series with a new writer. And this one is Stitched Terror number one. It's $5.99, but it's oversized. It's 48 pages. And the writer on this limited series is going to be Pat Shand, and the artist is Daniel Geet. And I'm going to read you the solicit on here. The undead horror returns and now unleashed in America in double-sized issues. Sheriff Cat Noble keeps the peace on a quiet border town, but as the young girls start to go missing, she's pulled into the supernatural slaughterhouse and stumbles into the masking of the ultimate terror plot. So this one is right up my alley. I know that sounds weird. They call it 50 Shades of Torture. if you guys know anything about Avatar, they're kind of like push the limits on most of their comics. Not necessarily in the depravity, but like this series is not as bad as what Crossed typically is, but it's up that alley. So if you're into a Crossed type book, or you're into the undead, you're into slasher type stuff, this may be up your alley. Check it out. And by the way, I'm going to point something else out on here. On page 275, on the next page, here's what I was talking about before, and it is being resolicited again. You guys should pick this up if you haven't read it. They are once again offering the Uber Slipcase, volumes 1 through 5, for $89.99. You are going to get a big discount through Cowabunga, or if your retailer doesn't give you a discount, call Eric or email Eric. It's so easy. Save some money. And there's also Uber Volume 6 on here. So you can get completely caught up with the Uber series, which I really love. Good stuff from Avatar. Check it out. On to my next pick.
This is Nick with my next pick for the month. Coming from Golden Apple Books, page 306. This is following along in the theme of Blast from the Past type of stories for me this month. And actually, the title of it is Blastosaurus number 6. Writer is Richard Fairgray and Paul Eiting, and the art and cover is handled by Richard Fairgray. The description reads, "The monster dog has been zapped out of the sky. The evil super raccoon has fled with the magic stone, and our dinosaur hero has no way to track them down. Lucky for him, Tabitha and Richard have a plan to lure the raccoon in for a final showdown. Armed with tennis ball shooting backpacks and the smell of marshmallows, they are ready for anything. Or so they think. The conclusion to the three-part monster dog saga is finally here, along with hundreds and hundreds of raccoons." Now, if you're wondering what does any of this mean for anything, I highly encourage you to check out the previous 5 issues of this series. So far, I've read about the first 2 or 3, and it's definitely a different taste for a comic, but this is actually New Zealand's best-selling original comic book, and I believe that these are reprinted from a series of almost like a trade paperback or hardback type installments that have been pieced out into single issue comics for U.S. market. And it just, like I said, kind of a different take. It's definitely kid friendly, but there are some kind of dry humor bits that anybody could appreciate. Check it out, $3.99 from Golden Apple Books.
Hey, this is James, J.R. Phoenix, and this time I'm back with some graphic novels or hardcovers, to be specific. And it may or may not be something you're into, but I've been enjoying it. I know some of the people on the Slack channel tell me they're into this stuff too. But I'm looking at the humanoid section. I'm on page 312 in the previews. And thank God I finally have my previews. You know, normally I use the online ones. It's not as easy. It kind of sucks using those. So I like the papery previews. But I'm looking on page 312 from Humanoids. Bouncer hardcover by Alejandro Jodorowsky. Artist is Francois Boak. I don't know how you say his name. And right next to it is Muse Deluxe hardcover. Writer, Denis Pierre Felipe. And artist is Terry Dodson. Okay, the Bouncer Jodorowsky. He is the master of sci-fi writing. He has a hard edge to him. Beautiful artist that he picks. He has the most amazing artist that works with him. These are Euro comics that have been translated into the English language. It's listed in previews as an essential item. I already have the Bouncer hardcover. If you have not read it, pick it up. It's $44.95. It's 412 pages. It's a beautiful hardcover, and you get a significant discount if you use a pre-order retailer like my friends are. This is all the Euro hardcover is also a little bit oversized, which I really like. So check that one out. The one that I do not have, which I'm going to be picking up, is the Muse Deluxe hardcover. Now, both of these titles are mature themes, just FYI. The Muse one is 104 pages, $34.95, but it's very, very oversized. It's a huge book. And this one, I'll just read you a little bit. Available for the first time in the English language. And its original size and its entirety are the sexy, dreamy adventures of Coraline, a beautiful young lady who serves as governess to a wealthy, inventive, and very mysterious homeowner. Written by frequent Humanoids collaborator D.P. Philippi, who wrote some other stuff, and drawn by U.S. Comics superstar Terry Dodson. He's a very good artist. Muse is a lyrical and titillating ride through reverie and nostalgia. Never read it. I usually check out the previews on the Humanoids website. They usually give you about 10 pages free that you can kind of scroll through. Also, you can use the Amazon's, you know, scrolling feature and go through that. The thing I'll tell you, Amazon never has the books as cheap as I get them from Eric at Cowabunga, so I just use them for the website. But check these out. I like a lot of what they do. I have a lot of Humanoids books. This time I'm not pointing out the Meta Baron, even though they have it in here, because I've done it in the past. But good stuff from Humanoids. Pick it up if you're into Euro comics. On to my next pick.
This is Nick with a pick. At first, I wasn't going to submit for the previews catalog spotlight this month, but after hearing some recent information about one of the other entries in this series, I thought it was worth highlighting. It's Midway, a one-shot reprinting, basically, of an issue of Combat, an old war comic, by, as it's described here, comic book legend, World War II veteran, and Eisner Award nominee Sam Glanzman, a sort of comics conservationist or a curator, Drew Ford, recently started up this imprint to do some of these reprints of some old comic books and has done a series so far of reprints from the old Combat comic book series. In this case, the story was written by Paul S. Newman and, of course, art and cover by Sam Glanzman. It's described as 48 pages, but elsewhere in the book was also mentioned to be 52. Regardless, it's $9.99, and if you ever had an interest in World War II history or old war comic books, this one's definitely a must pick up, of course, being about one of the historic World War II battles at Midway. But there's also a backup story called Out of the Gate, and a one-page story called High Ground, as well as essays about General George Patton and Sam Glanzman included in the book. So anyway, check this one out if that sounds like something you're interested in. I highly recommend it. Again, page 313 in the previous blog.
It's Drew with a pick from Lion Forge. This is Selly's number six, written and with art by Joe Flood. This is basically a slice of life comic about the employees at a cell phone store and their relationships and ups and downs and the different characters that come in and out of the store. It's kind of fun. If you're into any of that sort of slice of life stuff, this is definitely worth checking out. It's probably going to be solicited trade anytime now. You can check it out that way. Or sample that first issue digitally if you'd like. This comes out January 2nd, is a $3.99 comic, and is something worth checking out. It's Selly's number 6 from Lion Forge.
This is Nick with another pick along the lines of time travel and a view of the long distant past. This one is called Cretaceous. It's a original graphic novel, definitely geared towards kids, but if you're interested in dinosaurs or appreciate good dinosaur illustration work, this one is 168 pages. It's from Oni Press, page 340 in the previews catalog. There is some preview art available for it, so either check it out in the catalog, or I'm sure you could do a Google search and find some more information on it. It's written and illustrated by Tad Galusha. And the description here says, when a Tyrannosaurus Rex is separated from its family unit, it embarks on a harrowing journey to reunite with them before the raw, real dangers of the Cretaceous era separate them for good. This heart-wrenching story takes to the skies and dives into the sea and explores everywhere in between. In this research-based fictional account written and illustrated by Tad Galusha, who's also done some previous work on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Ghostbusters 2. It also does include in its pages a field guide of the region as it was during the Cretaceous that allows readers to dive further into facts about the world and time. So again, obviously geared towards children, but again, any dinosaur enthusiasts, it looks to be well illustrated with a variety of dinosaur types portrayed here in some of the preview art. It doesn't come out until March 27th of next year. It's also listed at $14.99.
Hey, this is James back, or as my friend Drew calls me, Clippin' Jimmy online, because I have so many clips. It's because I love you guys and I like to share what I like to read. But I like the name. I'll go with it. I'm on page 377 for my last pick, and I'm looking at Zenoscope. I've been enjoying Zenoscope. I've been reading a lot of their horror stuff. I read the Ripley's Believe It or Not stuff that they came out with. That was okay for me. The horror stuff I much more enjoy. The two that I've been wanting to get into were Grimm and Wonderland, and they got relaunched. I didn't jump on them right at the relaunches, so I kind of missed out on that. But I came to Not the annual on page 376, but on page 377 it says Grim Universe Presents 2019. Storied by Joe Brusha, Ralph Tedesco, and Dave Franchini. Don't know who any of them are. I've heard the names, but don't really know them that well. Okay, the Grimm universe is expanding from the age of Camelot to secret societies working in the shadows and otherworldly monsters invading the realms. New players are taking the board. Find out what awaits in the coming year with a collection of 8 brand new, never-released stories setting the stage for the next phase of the universe. This is a can't-miss issue. I was kind of iffy on this, and the reason why I say I was kind of iffy, Grimm or anthologies in general tend not to be my thing. I tend to get a lot more misses than I do hits. But because I want to know more about this Xenoscope universe, and because I want to know what's coming out, I'm reading like Black Knight. I'm reading Grim Tales of Terror right now that are on the next pages. I want to see what's coming out to see if anything piques my interest or something I can jump on. Or maybe they're going to tell me something about Wonderlands being relaunched because I notice it's missing in this preview. So I don't know if that's just a pause or if something new is coming out. But if you want to find out what's coming out, you want to get samplers, this is the place to do it. One little warning on this. This is 64 pages, $7.99. It's only $7.99 if you're not ordering from Eric at Cowabunga Comics. If you're ordering from him, it is much less expensive, so it's not as big of a risk to buy this. But if you want to check it out, see what their little universe and world is about, read this. And I know Eric's been enjoying some of their stuff, and some of the other people that I talk with on the Slack channel and on the forums have been enjoying some Xenoscope stuff. So that is it. I am looking forward to hearing some good picks from the rest of you guys. And until next month, until my next weekly comic spotlight when you guys will hear me, I bid you adieu.
I hope everybody's been able to find something they were interested in this time in previews. I think there were plenty of good picks. Want to thank everyone who contributed this month, so thank you Alan, Billy, Chris, Drew, James, Mo, Nathan, Nicholas, Paul, and Todd. Would have been a much shorter episode without you guys, so again, thanks, and I want to remind everybody we've got an open submission policy. Everybody is welcome to send in clips. That includes, obviously, other podcasters and people creating or working with the books in some way, shape, or form, editors, marketing people, etc. If you want to promote your books, this is a good opportunity. But for all you listeners out there, obviously you're listening to this podcast because you enjoy comics, and that means there are particular comics you enjoy. Tell us about them. Get us hooked on those as well. We're more likely to review them, talk about them, etc. if we're reading them too, and they're more likely to stick around. My order is pretty much falling right around where it normally does, and I'm at the point where I'm starting to think, should I be cutting back or not? Because I've still got a sizable backlog to read, and it's coming in faster than I can manage it, so I'm probably going to take a closer look at this order and the next couple to see if I can start trimming it back a little bit. Whether I do that or not, we'll find out. Of course, the other option is I could just do more reading. But again, I want to thank everybody for contributing and for listening. The next Comic Book Page teleconference will be on Saturday, November 17th at 7 p.m. Central Time. It's on Skype. You're welcome to come and go as you've got time available. You don't have to be there right at 7. You don't got to stay for the whole time, but just hang out and have fun. The next previews is going to get released on November 28th, that Wednesday. That means the preview spotlight deadline will be Saturday, December 8th, and that's bright and early that morning. If you need a little extra time, just let me know that the clips are coming so I can just plan accordingly. And then the following Comic Book Page teleconference will probably be on December 15th, that Saturday evening at 7 p.m., but of course there's the one before that on November 17th. So with that, we'll call it an episode.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.